for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, July the 4th, 1993. Tommy Cook is the speaker of the evening. This is the 4th of July family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Tommy Cook, he and his wife and a couple others, I don't know how many, just got back from London and went over there, had some meetings over there. So I want him to give a report on that here as he comes up here to minister this evening. Brother Tommy from over at Tulsa.
Praise the Lord.
Part of the campground. Amen.
That's right. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for your anointing that we believe is here tonight. We thank you for your people that have come. But Lord, we thank you that you're here. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us for tonight. And we ask, God, that our hearts be open, that there be receptivity in our inner man. We thank you for all the speakers that's coming. We pray for every minister that's coming to share in this camp meeting, Lord. We thank you for the word that they will share and speak. And Father, for all those who are yet traveling coming, we ask your protection over them, that you'd keep them, that your mighty hand would be upon them. We just cover us with your blood tonight. Sprinkle the blood upon us, Lord. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all said amen. 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 God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, we did go to London. I was, I'd just like to go back for a couple minutes. I was in a meeting in Oklahoma. A lady had called me to come and hold a meeting, and I didn't really want to go in the flesh, in the natural, but I felt prompted to go. And so as I was sitting in the meeting, I heard the Lord say, "You'll go to England." And there was a lady that went with us to the meeting, and I didn't know, but that morning she was praying that God would speak to me to go to England, because she knew people there that would, you know, open doors to us. And so God answered. So seven of us went, and I saw a hunger among especially the young married people. And we had quite a few filled with the Holy Spirit. We had others rebaptized in the Holy Spirit. We had deliverance, and it was really new to them, but it was really a blessing to see how God, as He spoke to me one afternoon, He spoke to me on the bastard or the illegitimate child and the curse of the bastard. And that night I couldn't believe so many coming forward to be set free from that particular sin. I mean, no, there's many born like that and don't even know it. And many times, of course, we bear children that way. But, you know, God forgives and God forgets, and we can break the curse off our children. Amen? Or any other thing that comes at us. Praise the Lord. But we had a glorious time. We were there 2 weeks. Met a lot of nice people. They want us to come back. And so we plan on going back by the grace of God whenever the Lord directs. But we had a good meeting. We had eight meetings. Ten meetings. And then we went down to London. And my, what a place that is. We went to Westminster Abbey, and I got a headache twice when I went in there 2 days. And so we didn't stay too long. A lot of dead men's buried there. But then we took a tour over London, but we had a marvelous time. We stayed in a missionary place, a reasonable place to stay there in London especially, and just had a great time. Went to Blackpool, went to Wales, and other places. And so, but God blessed us. And my heart's still with the people. I've been praying a lot for them this week as we've been home. And one lady, I want to mention this. We ministered in a hall on a Saturday night, and God said, "Speak on Jezebel, Athaliah." So we shared on Athaliah, spirit of control, and there were others who came forward and really got a lot of deliverance and help. But this one girl came, and she had got into lesbianism. She had got into all kind of sin. She came weeping and crying, and God really set her free that night. She repented and wept, received the Holy Spirit, and I know God turned that life around. Now, her father in one of the meetings stood up against me when I was teaching in some things, and then after that, he kept her home and let her come back to the meetings. But I heard today someone call and said she's doing great. She's still going on for God. So I want you to remember that gal. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just lift her up right now. We ask you to touch Rachel tonight. Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done in her and the deliverance, Lord, and turning her around from masculinity, Lord, to being a woman. I thank you for that, Lord. Giving a husband and children in life. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight to the book of Acts. May God bless you. So much more I could share, but that's just a little summary of, you know, what went on. But we had a great time in the Lord. There were seven of us. I've learned when you go overseas, it's better to go with other people. I went several times by myself, and I really come under warfare, and it really helps to go with prayer warriors, doesn't it? Praise God. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, I think that's where we'll share a little tonight. How many thank God for the book of Acts?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, God showed me when I was there in England that we need to get back to some basics, and I believe that. You know, a lot of times we throw out a lot of things to people, and they're not ready for the heavy things. Now, I mean, we all have to grow up, though, don't we? But we have to have the basic things. We have to have foundation. I mean, there's some cracks in some of our foundations tonight. And God has to cement those cracks and make sure it's strong in order for the building to go up. Praise God. Now, in Acts chapter 2, notice it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," and we know this was the feast, one of the three feasts that when all the men would go up to Jerusalem every year. And notice the word Pentecost. The last four letters is cost. Now, it didn't cost us to receive the Holy Ghost. But how many know after you receive the Holy Ghost, it costs you something. It takes some time out of your life. You have to spend time with God. Isn't that right? And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, the 120, were all with one accord in one place. How many know we need some unity in the church tonight? Look in verse 46 in that same chapter. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, and with gladness and singleness of heart." God wants His people in unity and one accordance. Praise the Lord. So as they come together in one accord in one place, verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, "And suddenly, notice, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." They were sitting down just like you're sitting down there. And the Bible here says several things. They were sitting, there was a sound, suddenly, and then something happened. Notice, as they were sitting, something sat on them. Hallelujah. How many want the Holy Ghost to sit on you?
Amen.
Amen. How many thank God for the Holy Ghost coming in your life?
Amen.
Amen. I do. I tell you, it changed my life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, the Lord said you'd receive power after, come on, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And you shall be what? Witnesses or martyrs unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. How many know we'd like to jump from Jerusalem and go out to the ends of the earth? But you got three princes there, so to speak, to overcome, don't you? Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Come on, help me now.
Amen.
Some people's not ready to go to the ends of the earth. Isn't that right? They better start in Jerusalem and overcome in Jerusalem first. Pray as a message and all that. I won't go into that. But it said, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Praise God. First of all, there's an immersion. The Holy Spirit fills the house. And then secondly, there's an infilling. We know they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We'll read it here in just a minute. And then there was an outflow. How many thank God for the infilling and the outflow?
Amen.
Praise God. God comes in, amen, in order for Him to flow out. Isn't that right? To others. Praise the Lord. "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." So as they were sitting, something sat on them. "And they were all filled." How many were filled?
All.
They were all filled, come on, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. So the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit is when He comes in, how many know He brings the tongues with Him? Somebody said when you buy a pair of shoes, the tongues come with it. How many know that's true? Well, how many know when the Holy Ghost comes in, He brings the tongues with Him? Amen. Thank God for speaking in other tongues. I'm so glad tonight that we can experience this daily in our life, aren't you?
Yes.
Now turn to Acts 2:33. The Bible says here, I believe it's 33. Praise God. No, it's 30. It's 38. 38. No, 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. Notice, he has shed forth this. Remember back in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so in verse 33, he says here to us, praise God, having received the promise of the Father, he has shed forth this which you now see and, come on, hear. Then verse 38, Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you might receive something. If you're good enough. You shall, come on, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many know Jesus is a gift? And yet he said the Holy Ghost, come on, is a gift. Isn't that right? Jesus is the heavenly gift, isn't he? And yet the Holy Ghost is a gift. Hallelujah. How many know we didn't earn it? You can't buy it. It's free. It's a gift, isn't it, from God. Look in Acts 10. Look in Acts 10. Verse 40, what, 6? Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, while he was preaching his message. How many know the Holy Ghost interrupted him? That might upset some preachers, but hallelujah, this and it won't hurt him at all. How many know we need to be interrupted by the Holy Ghost? Come on, help me now. Glory. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Glory. How many of you like to see God fall in this meeting?
Amen.
I'd like to see God do something different in this meeting, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I'd like to see the Holy Ghost so fall that we'd be falling. Come on.
Amen.
Down on our faces before God. And it'd be a true move of God, not something phony and fakey. Come on. But the real thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And they of the Jews which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles or the heathen, the nations also was poured out. Come on. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad God does not make any difference between a Jew and Gentile when it comes to receiving the Holy Ghost or Jesus or whatever God's going to give us. Amen? Now notice, for they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost? Notice, as well as we, that is the Jews. Now look over in chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. We know that they called Peter in on the carpet about going to the Gentiles. But yet in chapter 11, verse 17, Peter says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift, there it is again, as he did unto us, God gave this gift to them like he did to us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believers tonight? Well, how many know if you've never received this gift, this gift's for you tonight, if you're a believer. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And if you're a believer, he still wants to pour out the Holy Ghost upon you. How many know there's different refillings of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? I counted the other day. I know Peter at least got 3 infillings. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure he got many more than that, but that's at least recorded. Let me tell you, brethren, what we need. We need a freshness today in the church. We need a freshness in our own life. Amen? You know, it said that, David said that God would anoint him with fresh oil. Fresh oil. The two prophets in Zechariah 4, who are the two witnesses in Revelation 11, they're called in the Hebrews the sons of fresh oil. And when the manna came, it was a taste of fresh oil. And I tell you, brethren, tonight, in my life, I want a freshness from God. That which is dead or stale or old, let it go by the wayside. I want something new, something fresh, something vibrant. I want the fire of God in my life. Hallelujah. I want some action from God in me. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. I mean that. And so here it says, notice, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God and so forth. Praise the Lord. So we know that the gift was poured out upon them. Now look in Acts 8. But look in Acts 8. First of all, let's go over a little ways in Acts 8. And let's look at a few scriptures here. In Acts 8, look in verse 12. But when they believed, the Samaritans believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus, Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, we know that the apostles had heard about this in verse 14. And notice they sent to them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, these were believers. Now the apostles come to pray that they receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen, upon none of them. Now, they'd been saved, hadn't they? They had received Jesus. Come on. They had received the message of Philip, but yet the Holy Ghost had not fallen on them. Amen? Now go back just a minute to chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. I think I missed something here. In chapter 11 a while ago. Praise God. And you'll notice in chapter 11, thank you, Jesus. It says in verse 15, as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost, what? Fell on them. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, fall on us in this meeting. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning, or at Pentecost. So the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost. It fell in Cornelius' house in chapter 10. And here in Acts 8, He had not yet fallen upon them, even though they were believers. Glory. Verse 16 of chapter 8, for yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad through the laying on of hands you can receive? Or he can just fall on you and receive it that way. Praise God. Now look back with me just a minute. Look down now. Look down to chapter 5. Here comes Philip now. It says, went down to the city and preached Christ to them. And remember, they're believers. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, let's look at these miracles that he did. Here's an evangelist, Philip, the man of God here. We'd call him a deacon at one time, but now he's an evangelist. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that was possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, I may can see right quick that all this whole city had been under the spell of the sorcerer, they'd been under the false prophet, they'd been under this man who was actually a controller. He was a warlock, whatever you want to call him. And yet they'd been under this man, and they were saying, this man's the power of God. And yet Philip comes down, preaches Christ, they receive, and they all get delivered. They were believers. How many know demons come out of believers? Now look in Mark 6. Let me ask you a question. Did you get deliverance when you got saved? I didn't. I mean, I received Jesus. But nobody ever told me I could get deliverance when I repented. But look here in Mark 6. Look at verse 12. And they went out, the apostles, and preached that men should repent. Well, how many know we still need to preach men to repent? Repentance. And they cast out, come on, many demons. Who did they cast demons out? Those that repented. And notice, and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So there was repentance, there was deliverance, and there was healing, wasn't there? Well, back here in Samaria, praise God, they got saved, they got delivered, they got healed, and then they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now look in Acts 9. Look in Acts 9, 17. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. This is where Saul is. Putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, notice, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many believe he's still in the healing business? Amen. Baptizing in the Holy Ghost business and the saving business. Come on. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Now, look over in Jude with me. Let's see why God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Turn over to Jude 20. This is just foundation message tonight, but this is what God wanted me to do. I was going to teach on Athaliah maybe tonight, or the rest of God, or I was going to teach on the beast. A lot of things I was going to teach on, but I'm just as happy teaching on this because we need a freshness, don't we? Jude verse 20. He said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. That means we're responsible to get built up. Isn't that right? I mean, no, we cannot in any way have anybody stand in for us when it comes to our prayer life. We have to do it. Now, others can pray for us, but we have to do it. Isn't that right? But ye beloved, this is a command, not just, this is, you know, we don't have an option. This is a command. But ye beloved, building up. That means like, it's just like an edifice going up, higher and higher and higher. A building going up from foundation, you know, going all the way up. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Notice he didn't say, give you faith, did he? But he said, praying in the Holy Ghost on that most holy faith. How many know that faith that's in you will be stimulated, activated? I said it'll be activated. Now, you know, Jesus said, remember what he said? He said, again, I want to quote, I give you power to what? After the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power to what? To be witnesses where? Or who? To. Unto me. Whereabouts though? Jerusalem, come on. Judea? Samaria? Okay. Now, he said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. How many know that's an experience?
Amen.
And you shall be witnesses or martyrs unto me. That is an expression. And then he said in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the rest of the world. That's an expansion. Isn't that right? Said another way. You've been stimulated in your spirit. You must experience Him in your soul. And you must demonstrate Him in your body. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? Glory. And right here, he's telling us how this is going to happen. He said, you beloved, we're in the beloved, and we're his beloved. Beloved, building up yourself. Have you been built up today? Have you prayed in the Holy Ghost today?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at the next verse. Don't stop there. Praying in the Holy Ghost does something for us. He said, notice, keep yourselves, guard yourselves, keep yourselves in the love, come on, of God. Show me a man stays full of the Holy Ghost, and I'll show you a man that loves God and loves people. Can you say amen? Oh, yes, brethren. Hallelujah. As you stay built up before God, as you let that faith be stimulated in you that God's put in you, praying in the Holy Ghost, he said, you will keep and you will guard yourself. In that love of God, looking for something, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So praying in the Holy Ghost will cause the love of God to flow into your life over, come on, and over and over. Amen? How many know the love of God has been shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? By the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Ghost moves in you, the love of God is being imparted to you and to me. Amen? I mean, no, we know in part. Come on, we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be what? Done away with or swallowed up. How many know the greater is coming? The tabernacles is greater than Pentecost. It's coming. Isn't that right? The hundredfold is going to be greater than the sixtyfold. Come on. Amen. The fullness is greater than the part. But we've got to have the part to get to the greater. Isn't that right? Amen. I know there's a greater realm than the gift realm. I know there's a Holy of Holies realm. I know there's a hundredfold realm. I know there's a fullness realm. But we have got to use what we have right now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm sorry to say many aren't using what they have. Amen. God put the gift in us to exercise it. Praise the Lord. And take us on higher in the Lord. Now let's go to Acts 19. Acts 19. Thank you, Lord. Acts 19, verse 1. Acts 19, verse 1. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? So they were believers. And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know, when I was saved as a boy, I never knew anything about the Holy Ghost. I never knew anything about the moving of the Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus. I'd accepted Jesus. And I knew Jesus in my heart. But I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost till years later. When I truly come back to God, and a man on my job who actually led me back to the Lord, he was a preacher, he wanted to know if I wanted to be baptized. I thought he was talking about water baptism. And he kept talking about it. So finally he told me what it was. And so I said, man, I want it now. And so I went forward and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and then immediately I began to be using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I remember the first night I was a young, just a young Christian, just a few weeks old. I had my hands on the pulpit like this, only it's a larger one. And I remember all of a sudden I felt the Holy Ghost come on my body. How many's ever felt His presence just come up on you? Now, we know He's within us. Thank God for that. And yet I felt that Spirit come up on my physical body, and my body just began to tremble, and I wasn't doing it. I knew it wasn't me. And down deep, I came out with my first message in tongues, and there was a lady in the front row. She stood and interpreted. Never heard her do that again, but yet God used her that night. And so God began to use me, start me out in the gifts of the Spirit, and so we've been flowing for a while. I end those as God directs. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now look here in Acts 19. He said, notice here, well, they said, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And He said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, here's an apostle laying hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. But how many know that God will use you as a believer to lay hands on people? You don't have to be an apostle, isn't that right? Amen. You know, we got this idea that we got to be prophets and apostles and all this stuff. How many know God wants to use you where you are? Come on now. Amen. As a believer, as you go forth and proclaim God's Word, come on. How many know people's going to get set free? Demons are going to go out of them, be cast out? Going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to be healed. Somebody's got to rise up in this end time call believers. Amen. And I believe the greatest revival is yet coming through believers. God's going to use the believers. Amen. And I want to see it, don't you? Glory. I want my sons. I want my daughters. I want my children to rise up in the Spirit. Come on, help me. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit. And God showed me the sons of God has to lead the pack and come forth first. And I saw, God showed me in Zechariah 10, the army of the Lord, in Zechariah 10 as well as Joel 2, but in Zechariah 10 especially, and that Judah horse company, God preserved that horse, the Bible said, for the day of battle. I'm not talking about a horse that runs on four legs. I'm talking about a people that's strong in battle and knows the Lord. And God showed me when He raises up the sons of God, He's going to pick them up literally and transport them around the world. And revival fires are going to break out around this world. And God's going to pour out His anointing, His Spirit, in ways that we have not yet seen. Hallelujah. Because the anointing is coming to Zion first. And I know Zion in generally is the church, but yet specifically it's also the sons of God. Come on, help me now. Hallelujah. That anointing, that outpouring is coming as sure as I'm standing here tonight. Amen. That tabernacle, that ingathering, that harvest, that fullness of God is going to be poured out upon His people in this end time. And I've come too far to quit. How about you? I want to see it and I want to be part of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many know when the anointing gets on you, there is no age? Amen. Come on, don't shout me down now. There is no age when the anointing gets on you. Amen. You're different, aren't you? Amen. I want to be different. I don't be like the old way. Okay. Now notice what it says. Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. And what did they do? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. How many know this great baptism of the Holy Ghost opens you up to prophecy, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And God wants to use every one of you. Hallelujah. If you're in a dead church, get out of it. Amen. Go to where there's life. Come on. If they don't accept you speaking in tongue, come on, prophesying and moving in the Spirit, get out of it and go where life is. But let God direct you. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. 14, verse 1. Notice something. Follow, everybody read it with me. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Now, notice the word follow. I mean, no, we don't just tag along. But he said, yes, the word follow means desire. It means to ensue or pursue, and it means to press. It means to press. Paul was pressing towards a mark, wasn't he? Of that high calling. That's the same word. Now, When you begin to follow after the love of God, how many know Jesus, God is love, it says in 1 John. God is love. And so when you begin to follow after the Lord, who truly is the love of God, then how many know that there's going to be something pressing against you? Now, it means to press, but it also means, this word follow means persecution of the Scriptures. Now, when you begin to move towards God, persecution is going to move towards you. Come on, help me now. But we enter the kingdom by what? Much tribulation. And we have appointment with afflictions, Paul tells us in Timothy. And I'm not magnifying that. But how many know God will deliver us out of every one of them? If we're faithful to Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so he said, follow after charity, after the love of God. And number two, desire. And that word desire means to have a warm feeling for or against. It means to be zealous, to be jealous for. It means also to covet. Now, God wants us to covet the things of God. I mean, covetousness is wrong in many ways. Now, look down to chapter 12:31. 12:31. Let's look at this. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet, he said, show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, Jesus had a more excellent ministry over in Hebrews, and yet Paul said there's a more excellent way here. Praise God. Let me know tonight there's a man with a ministry in the throne. His name is Jesus. And God is raising up another man, a corporate man with a ministry, and going to put him in the throne with the one that's there now, Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Revelation 21:7, notice what it says. Just turn there with me. Some of you are new. Let's turn there. I'll quote it, but let's just turn and look at it. 21:7, here is that one I'm talking about. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, or all these things, and I will be his God. Here's a relationship now. And he, the overcomer, shall be my son. God has a son coming forth. Again, another man with a ministry that's going to sit in the throne with Jesus because they've overcome, because they've allowed the overcomer to come in them. Because the Son has come in the sons. Hallelujah. How many know we must never lose sight of the Son and the overcomer? Amen, Jesus. Back in chapter 14, he said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Not natural gifts, not gifts on a carnal plane, but spiritual gifts. And but rather that you may, come on, prophesy. You become God's spokesman, isn't that right? You and I become the spokesman of God. Now look down in the chapter with me. Look down here just a little ways with me, please. And let me find a verse here. I want to look at another scripture, if I can find it. On down in the scriptures. Let's see here. Praise God. Okay, verse 39. But there's another verse I've got to find here. No, look with me. No, verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now notice he says covet or desire to prophesy. How many desire to prophesy? How many's ever prophesied? How many's never prophesied? How many believe God wants you to prophesy? Okay. Good. Now there's another scripture here. It says in verse 31, you may all, come on, prophesy one by one that all may learn and that all may be comforted. Amen. So God wants us to move in the Spirit. Amen. God wants you. God wants me. God wants all of us to learn not only how to prophesy, but to benefit and learn by what we do prophesy and what others prophesy. How many thank God for the moving of the Spirit tonight in this place? I thank God. And I love to see different ones used. It's good to see the body rise up and move in the Spirit, isn't it? You know, God didn't just choose one or two. How many know He chose all of us to move in the Spirit? If we desire to, isn't that right? Sure. Amen. Praise God. You know, man puts brakes on you, but how many know God doesn't do that? Amen. Now, let's go back here to 1 Corinthians 14. He said something, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we know the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, isn't it? The testimony of Jesus. Now, I see this. When you're moving in the prophetic gift and you're really, truly following the love of God, then that love can flow through that gift to others, and also Jesus is ministered to the people. I mean, you know, when the Holy Ghost moves in you and in me, He's always exalted. He's lifted up. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost testifies of Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. He doesn't glorify you and me. He glorifies Jesus. Praise God. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, look in verse 2 now. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, come on, speaketh not to men, but unto God. How many talk to God today?
Amen.
Amen. It's the Holy Ghost through you talking to the Father, isn't it? Somebody said we need a tongue bypass. Well, unbelieving. Hallelujah. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, come on, but to God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he's going to do something. He's going to speak mysteries. Now, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's a mystery. And yet, the man and woman that's praying in the Holy Ghost, he's speaking mysteries, isn't he? He's speaking divine secrets. Now, so number one, when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying to God, right? Number two, we don't understand always what we're saying. Thank God, that's probably good. Amen. Isn't that right? And three, we're speaking divine secrets or mysteries to God. And four, we are edified. Now, when we prophesy, I mean, we're speaking to mankind. We're hearing God, of course. We're speaking to man. And those mysteries you prayed in tongues will come out through the prophetic word. Isn't that right? And you'll understand usually the language that's been spoken, if it's like in English or whatever, the prophetic word. And number four, the church will be edified. The reason the church is not edified today is because many aren't being edified by praying in the Holy Ghost or in tongues. The more I can pray in the Spirit, how many know the more I go in to a place ready to edify the church, because my spirit is open to the prophetic word or whatever gift God wants to use me in, and I can move out in Him. Amen? And I believe this. Hear me now. I believe this. This is my conviction. I'm not dogmatic about it. But I believe through the prophetic word, every gift can operate. Now, how many know the simple gift itself has no revelation? The simple gift has no revelation. But God will come with a word of knowledge, come on, a word of wisdom, work in conjunction or through that gift. Isn't that right? How many know you can speak miracles, you can speak healings, tongues, interpretation, equal prophecy? God, you can discern when you prophesy. If God showed me things when I prophesied, I can never see otherwise.
Yeah.
Come on, help me now.
Yeah.
And so every gift can operate and work through the gift of prophecy. And I believe that's why Paul was putting so much emphasis. That's one of the reasons. There's other reasons, too. He was putting much emphasis on it. Now look down to verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. The simple gift will edify, exhort, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth will edify the what? The church. And how many know God all through the Scripture? Look, now look there in verse 3. He says edification. Look in verse 4. He says edification. Everybody see that? Then we look up to verse 17. He said, for thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Everybody see that? Then we come on down. There's other scriptures, of course, here about the word edification. Seven times, actually, it's used in that chapter. Verse 26. Let's look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Well, how many know we've come together tonight? I believe God led us here. I didn't come by accident. I believe God put me here. I didn't know I was going to preach tonight. But Glenn called me back there in the back. That's all right. How many know you got to be in season or out of season? Come on now. Praise God. Isn't that right? You don't always feel like playing the piano either, do you? Praise God. But we have to obey God. I believe God had us to come to share tonight. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. All these wonderful things can be in the body, brethren. God wants to use you and me. But we've got to make sure that the body is going to be edified. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not like a little boy and girl with a little wagon going up and down and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I mean, all these gifts edify you, but they point people to Jesus.
Amen.
They exalt the Lamb of God. Can you say amen? Now look over with me just a minute. Look over in Timothy. Let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, 18. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. And you know, I got a little book back there on the back table. I wrote just recently, Why the Prophetic Word is Not Fulfilled. How many know that there are many prophetic words that have been given over many of us? And there are many reasons why that they have not yet been fulfilled. And so I have a few back there. Now, here in chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, more than one, which went before on thee, that thou by them, that is by the prophecies, you might war a good warfare. I told the church today, I said, a week before I come to Lake Hamilton, I know when it starts. It's almost a week to the day that I get in a warfare, and I can't wait to leave home to get out of here with all the warfare that's going on. Anybody else that felt that this week? I believe some of you have. Huh? And I know, well, I know you guys know more about it than I do.
No, I don't know about that.
But I tell you, it's almost a week ahead of time before I come down here that I start fighting the enemy in different ways. Amen? I mean, how many's felt that today? Anybody here? I'm not glorifying the enemy. I just want you to be honest. Praise God. Well, I believe God's here to do something about it, don't you?
Amen.
Praise God. But notice what he said. He said, when you get a prophetic word, or these prophecies went on over Timothy and his ministry, no doubt, he said, you take those prophecies. How many know they didn't have tape recorders? Huh? So that means something. Timothy, you better listen to what God's told you, because the word that the Lord has told you, it's going to take you through the warfare. Now, you know, one of the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost is praying for your brother and your sister. Paul said, perseverance for all the saints. How many's ever read that in Ephesians? And so another reason is that intercession is made for us, it's made for saints, and it's made for all men. But one of the things God knows, he sees down the road, how many, 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, of course he sees well on down to the end of our life, but he sees, and how many know he can alert somebody to start praying for you in the Holy Ghost, or he alerts you to start praying for somebody in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Well, the prophecy came to pass very fast, but it took almost 15 years for that other part to come to pass. Some things, it takes a while, doesn't it, brother? It takes a while. It does not come to pass overnight. So don't get critical in your spirit, because one of the reasons some of us haven't come into what God said is because we've gotten critical and we've despised, come on, the Word of the Lord. And when you despise it, how many know you stop God right in His tracks, if I can use that, in your life? Huh? Let me show you this to you. Look in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You say 2 hours, Glenn? Well, not hardly. 2 Chronicles 30, the last chapter. 36, is it 36? Okay, brethren, look in chapter 36. Look in verse 15. It says, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them, this is the people of God, by His messengers, and these messengers of here are prophets. Thank God for prophets. How many thank God for the prophets of the Lord?
Amen.
And notice, rising up betimes, or early, and sending. How many know when God sends the prophets, it's when your back's against the wall, or you're going through some hard times. How many know when everything's going good, He ain't going to send you a prophet. Come on. Most of the time. He's going to send you somebody when you need it.
Amen.
Anybody need to hear a prophet tonight? I think we all do.
Amen.
All right. And sent him because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Now notice, God did this. He sent the prophets for two reasons. Because he had compassion on the people and on his dwelling place. Well, tonight we are his people. Come on, we're his dwelling place. Next verse. Notice what God's people did. But they mocked the messengers of God, the prophets. They despised his words. They misused his prophets until, notice the word until. Until what? The wrath of the Lord rose against who? His people, until there was no remedy, and the word remedy means no healing. Same word in Malachi 4, where the Son of Righteousness arises with healing, come on, in His wings. Same word. And so there was no remedy. So brethren, we can stop the Lord in our life by despising the Word of the Lord. Now, I know there's a lot of fake and false things. But how many know the anointing abides within us? God within us, if we'll listen to Him, will let us know if it be right or wrong. Can you say amen? Now, let's go back to Timothy now. A couple more scriptures here. Really just getting started. 2 Timothy 4. So there's going to be a warfare. There's going to be a warfare. 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. So whatever gift God's putting in us, he said, don't neglect it. Use it. And I know I could go into the Greek and all that, but I'm not going to get in that tonight. Which was given thee by prophecy, notice, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So there was again, put 1 Timothy 4:14. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 4:14. He said, neglect not the gift that's in thee. Notice, it's in you. If God gives you a gift, how many know it's in you?
Amen.
He's not an Indian giver, and I don't mean that wrong if there's any Indians here tonight. Because I've said that a few places, and I got rebuked one time. Well, I'm part of Indian, too. I get Indian in me, too. So I can say it. Praise God. But neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee. Which was given thee. This gift was given by what? Prophecy. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So as the elders laid hands upon Timothy, God gave this man a gift. Amen. Now, next verse. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. So God puts gifts in people, amen, that you give yourself wholly to that, and that you profit. Amen? That your profiting may appear, rather, to others. Now look in 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter. Is it chapter 4? Hope so. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And notice the first three words, as every man, hath received the gift. I believe the word is charisma there, if I remember. Even so minister the same one to another. How many know you can't minister what you don't have? Don't try to minister something you don't have. But if God's put a gift in you, you have the ability to minister that gift to somebody else. Isn't that right? Amen. Even so minister the same one to another. So why does God put a gift in you? Because He's looking towards His body. He wants His body to be ministered to. He wants others to be healed, to be delivered, to be helped. Can you say amen? But He said, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards, notice, of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. God's grace wants to pour out His gifts upon His people and in His people. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. How many know that we have no ability in ourselves? It's only from God. We have no ability. Without me, He said, you can do nothing. And I believe it. But with Him, we can do all things. But He said, notice, we're to do it with the ability that God giveth. That God, here's the reason, that God, in all things, may be what?
Glorified
through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God gives you a gift to minister to your brother and sister, and that God, through Jesus, be glorified. That's the reason. Now, look at next verse, verse 12. Now notice, when God begins to use you, look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. How many know you're going to be put in the furnace? You're going to be put in the test? Huh? Sure you are. As though some strange thing happened to you. So He's saying, don't get alarmed. Amen. That some strange thing has happened. It's just going to come. The fire is going to come. The trial is going to come. Now, look down to verse... He's talking about the sufferings now, 13, 14, and 15. But look in verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian... If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, two things. God is glorified in the gift that's imparted to you and I. And secondly, there's going to be some tests, there's going to be some sufferings that's going to come our way. And He's saying in verse 16, also that God must be glorified even in that suffering. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now look in Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. And wherever you have a negative, how many know you need a positive? And wherever you have a positive, there's going to be a negative. God wants a balance in our life. Amen. Chapter 1. Look at verse 10. of Romans, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Well, you know the whole story, how Paul had the shipwreck and all the things that happened to him. But notice he's praying for a prosperous journey. Verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart, here's the reason, to you, church, some spiritual gift to the end you may be what? Established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, or actually was hindered. One other place in Thessalonians, he said, Satan hindered me. Remember that? And I hear some of these guys saying, well, you know, Satan, you know, has no power and he can't do anything. Well, I'll tell you. The Bible said he hindered Paul. Come on. Satan hindered me, he said over in Thessalonians. He said that. You ever read that? How many's ever read that?
Yes.
And right here he said, but was led hitherto. Actually, look in your margin. It means hindered. That I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. And notice, he said, I want to impart a gift to you, that you be established in verse 11. Then verse 13, he said, I want some fruit also among you. How many know there's a balance? There's a gift, come on, and there's the fruit of God. We need the gifts, brethren. We need to see the power of God. But we need the fruit of God. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Remember over in John, was it John 14, somewhere through there, 15, I don't know. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I will come to you. I will come to you. Remember that scripture? Let's try to find it. Somebody, let's turn over to John. Let's go find it. Somewhere through here. I'm sorry. What's that? Oh, is that right? Praise the Lord. Good. Okay, look in chapter... Oh, let's see.
Chapter 14, verse 18.
Oh, thank you, Doc. 14:18. Thank you. All right. Jesus said these words, I will not leave you comfortless. That means as orphans. I will come to you. Now, how does He come to us? Well, He comes, I'm looking at three ways, I'm sure many ways, but I'm looking at three. How many know He comes in the fruit of the Spirit? The nine fruits of the Spirit. Then He comes in power, the gifts of the Spirit. And then He comes, we know, in authority. He comes in through the apostles, come on, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists. So He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And later we know here in the Scriptures, He said that the Holy Ghost, when He comes, He'll not only be with you, but He'll be in you. Aren't you glad He's in you tonight? I'm so thankful that God's in me. Hallelujah. That is a mystery, isn't it? And that, you know, the average Joe out there, he doesn't know anything about that. He could. And we want those people to know the Lord. But I'm so glad God dwells in me. Our bodies, come on, are the temple. Are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to close with one thing tonight. Turn over to Acts. And I want to touch about five minutes here on something. How long have we been going? 45 minutes? Okay. You keep pretty good time, Glenn. You know, in Acts 17, how many know this is a scripture that those who came down to one of these places, they were accused of turning the world upside down. Remember that? But here in chapter 17, look with me, if you will, verse 29, I just want to touch something. And I want to touch something for this reason, to let you know, first of all, that God's mark is greater than the devil's. And that if you've got God's mark, how many know you have no fear? Hear me now. If you're being marked by God, you have no fear of the beast, mark the beast. If you're being marked by God. And if you're an intercessor. Now, Glenn, I looked that word in Ezekiel over today, you know, where they are sighing and crying, as you read a lot. And it says they were marked in Ezekiel chapter 9. And I found that word mark is used one other time in Job. It's the word desire. And it's a desire towards God. Well, if you have a desire towards God, how many know He's going to mark you? God's going to mark you and God's going to mark me. Amen? Amen. It's the word desire. It's used in the book of Job. You look it up. Don't just take my word. You look it up. Now, here in the book of Acts 17, notice in verse 29, it says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think. And sometimes, how many know that's what gets us in trouble? Our stinking thinking. Not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, or stone. Notice, graven by art and man's device. Now, he's talking about the Godhead, but look at the word graven. We know that's the word here for mark in Revelation. It's used 8 times. And with this word graven, it's used 9. So 9 times, something like that, is used in the New Testament, the word mark. Now, just as God is marking people, we know the enemy's marking the people as well. How many know that there's coming that corporate sun in God that we read earlier, Revelation 21:7. But I want to tell you, the devil's got a sun coming forth. Sure does. Now, how many know there's tares and there's wheat? And Jesus said, let them both grow or mature together until the harvest. Then I'm going to send the messengers, the angels, and they're going to separate in that time of harvest. And we're coming to harvest. Isn't that right? And we know that, and listen, from Genesis to Revelation, always the beast always came forth first. For instance, you know there was Cain, then who else? Abel. There was Eli. And then Samuel. There was Esau, and then Jacob. There was Ishmael, come on, and Isaac. There was Saul, and there was David. And you could go on and on. There's the harlot church, come on, the true church. Now, on the sixth day, God made the beast, back in Genesis, and he made man. Now, we've come to the sixth day from Adam, and we see the beast rising in the earth, and yet even in us. There's a nature there that's got to be crucified daily. Please hear me. We can reckon him to be dead, and the Bible tells us to do that. But how many know he said we have to die? Paul said, there's an I in us that has to die daily. How many know the middle letter of sin is I? And Paul said we're killed all the day long. So there is a death to us daily, isn't there? There's a cross that we have to take up. Amen? And so we're in the sixth day. The beast is coming forth. We see it out there. We see it in the church. But God is moving. Hear me. God is moving. What do I mean by that? He's bringing forth a man child. Now, if you just see the beast in you, how many know you better raise your sights? Huh? Now, let me show you this. Look, hold your place there now. Look in Psalm 73. If all you can see is the beast only, man, we can see that pretty quick, can't we? Psalm 73. Now, look at verse 22. And I'm sure not magnifying no beast, but look at it. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. How many's ever got before the Lord and felt like you was a beast? Come on now, help me. Am I the only one? No. All right, look at the next verse. Even though David sees this beast nature in him, he said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. That's the answer, isn't it? That's the key. Thou hast holden me up by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward, you're going to receive me to glory. Hallelujah. So if all you see is the beast nature, brother, that's not enough. You've got to see Him who's able to conquer that beast in you and I as we keep coming before Him. Can you say amen? And back here in Acts 17, because I'm leading up to something, so come on back here. He talked the word graven is the word for mark. The word art is the word techne. It's where we get the word technology, technique, technician, other words like that. It's the word for craft, occupation, handiwork. How many know the mark of the beast is, the mark of the beast is where? In the forehead and in the hand. But God's mark is also, come on, in the forehead and in the hand. But if you have God's mark, how many know your hand's going to do good? If God's marking you in your forehead, your hand is going to do right. Isn't that right? But if man's marked by the beast in their forehead, how many know their hand's going to do the opposite, going to do wrong? Now look at this word, by art. Now, an artist has to see something before he paints. Isn't that right? A man that does sculpture work, how many know he's got to see something within him in order to use his hand? Amen? So this mark of the beast, as well as God's marks in the forehead and the hand. Now, next part. Man's device. That word device there That word device means thoughts. Let me show this. Look in Hebrews 4:12. Here's the same word, Hebrews 4:12, and I know you know this scripture. Turn over there. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, it's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of what? That word thoughts is the word we're looking at here and when it says man's device. So we're talking about inner reasonings, inner thoughts. We're talking about mental activity. So he said the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts. That's a word. Intents of the heart. Amen? Now, turn with me to Hebrews 1. And I want to close here. And the word there for graven that we just saw in Acts is the word charagma. Everybody say it. Charagma. And C-H-A-R-A-G-M-A, I believe it is. And the first four letters is char. How many of you felt like you was charred? Okay. Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Okay? I want to bring this down to where we are. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And I want to bring it into the light of God. Everybody read it. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, that word express image, I noticed the Amplified, it talks about the perfect imprint and the very image of God. In the Woos translation, it says the exact reproduction of His essence. And in the interlinear, it says exact expression of His substance. But here he says He was the very express image of His person. And that word express image is the word C-H. Here's how it's spelled. Now listen to it. C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. It's like the word character, isn't it? And you know, He is the very character of God. He expressed, Jesus expressed the very character of God. Now we know that God's bringing a people into that image. Isn't that right? How many know God's foreknowledge and God's predestination is bringing the people to that image? Romans tells us. Amen? We know that's happening from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. We know the gospel of Christ is doing. There's many things we could talk about. So here's what I'm saying. This word express image really is the character of God. It is the mark of God. It is the very nature of God. Hallelujah. We know man in the world out there is taking on the image of the beast, the nature of the beast, the character of the beast. But I tell you, brethren, I want to take on the nature, the character, and the image of Jesus. Oh, glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want Him to stamp me in my forehead. Hallelujah. And in my hand. Amen. I want His inner thoughts. I don't want to have a beastly mind and beastly behavior. I want to have the Christ mind and Christ behavior. How's that going to happen? As you and I submit to the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and become a real intercessor. God's sons are sealed because they seek God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God is sealing a people for this end time. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder tonight, with every heart on the Lord here for a few minutes, I wonder, if there's people here that have never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have never spoken with other tongues, okay? God bless you. Anybody else? You have never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You want to come and receive, sister? We'd love for you to come if you'd like to. Anyone else? Anyone else have never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Praise God. All right, how many here tonight that have spoken in tongues one time, you've never done it since? Okay? You want to come up, brother? Come right on up. Praise the Lord. Would you like to come? We're not putting you on the spot, but we'd like to pray for you. Amen? Just come right up. God bless you. Anybody else? You have never spoken in tongues since you once spoke before. Come right up, brother. Come up here. Praise the Lord. All right. How many here tonight do not have a flow in tongues? Raise your hand.
All right, come right on up. We want to pray for you. God bless you. Come right on up. You don't have that flow in your life to pray in the Spirit. Just come up. Amen. How many know God wants you to have a flow? He wants to blow up on you to have a flow. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there's some more here that need to come. You want a flow from God in your life, in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? I know there's a few more. Come on. Obey the Spirit. Just step out. Praise God. Amen. All right, I want several of the ministries that are here, Frank and Bill and a few others, whoever. I want you to come behind the people as we pray. Brother Frank, and you can help me, Frank, here. Anybody else? Hello, Raymond. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Praise God. I want you to reach your hands out to these people now. We're going to pray for them. Yes, Brother Chuck. Here's Brother Chuck. Praise the Lord. I want us to reach your hands out to these people. Yes, come on, sister. Come right up. Yes, amen. Come right on. Anyone else? Just, we're no hurry. We're no hurry. Praise God. If God's speaking to your inner man. You need to be set free tonight. You need a flow in your life to pray in the Spirit. That's the key. Amen. Amen. Come right on up, sister. Praise the Lord. Okay. I want you to reach your hands out to these people now. And I want us to begin to pray for them. Amen? Just as the Lord leads you, brother, just go right to them and let's just start praying for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Make sure they're saved. I'm sure they all are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear sister, now you want to flow in your life?
I don't know if I do or not. Days of truth. But I like to flow it more so.
Yes, okay. Okay, Father, I just pray for her right now. And I just ask the Holy Spirit to minister to her, Lord. Just let your tongue go now. That's it. Just go right on now, sister. Lord, give her a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. Give her a fresh visitation tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Go right on, sister. Go right on, sister. Go right on. That's it. That's it. Go right on now. Go right on. Praise God. Son, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you have a flow in your life? You want more of a flow? Go ahead and pray in the Spirit now. Lord, fill him anew and afresh with the Holy Ghost. Put a newness and a freshness there, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Go right on. Go right on, son. Go right on. Praise God. Go right on, son. Go right on. Go right on, honey. See that, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are you praying the Spirit? Go right on in. That's it. Let her go, sister. Let her go. Let her go, sister. That's it. That's it. Go ahead. Get loose. Get loose. That's right. Hallelujah. Lord, touch Raymond tonight. Just open up, Raymond. Pray in the Spirit now. Baptize him anew and afresh in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Give him a freshness now tonight, Lord, in the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Go ahead.
You just open that mouth just like all the angels.
Amen. That's it. There you go. That's it. There you go. That's it. Go right on that. That's it. Atta girl. See la bracota brasa. That's right. That's a gift. That's a gift. That's right. Cora see la bracota brasi ara bracai. That's it. Go right on now, honey. See la bracota brasi ara bracota brasi ara bracai. Amen. Is that your first time? Well, just keep it up. Go ahead. Cora deliver si ara bracota brasi ara bracai ara brasan deliver. Just keep praying in the front. Keep praying in that tongue. Don't give up. Just keep going. Keep going. Bless them, Lord. Bless these brethren, Lord. Use them. Anoint them, God. Anoint them, Holy Ghost. Anoint them, Holy Ghost. Use them. Let the gifts be imparted to them, God. Impart gifts to them, Lord. Gifts of prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Gifts of healings, miracles, Lord. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Oh, God, discerning of spirits, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, the prophetic word, Lord. Let the prophetic word come in them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Did you get free? Did you get free?
Well, I've had a lot of stuff like the spirits wrapped around my head, and I'm having a hard time praying in the spirit. I have been able to pray in the spirit, but there's demonic forces.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just take authority. We just take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. We just break every bondage off of her mind right now, Lord. We loose her in the name of Jesus. Loose her by the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just open your mouth now, honey. Let her go. Don't fear. Don't fear. That's right. That's it. That's it. Go right on. Go right on. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. 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 Praise God. Bless you, Brother Chuck. God bless you. Good to see you, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Praise God. Oh, she did? Okay. Father, her chest. Her chest. Lord, we just rebuke this thing off her little chest in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit. Luther. You spirit of infirmity, come off her chest and her body. We command all the pain to loose her now. Leave her in the name of Jesus. I bind that thing. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loosen up. Just pray in the spirit, honey. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, baby. Open up and pray in the spirit. Come on, open up. That's right. Get free in the Holy Ghost, honey. In the name of Jesus, we smite that infirmity. We smite that infirmity. Amen. Amen. Minister to her, Lord. Minister to her. Lord, I rebuke every spirit from that attacked her in Minnesota. Lord, I come against it right now. Cut it off in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hi, Gene. God love you, Gene. That's right. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Lord to be with us as we lay our heads down to rest tonight. We thank you and we praise you for it. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.